All right. James chapter 4. In verse 4. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity toward with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy.
Would that be man's spirit?
No. It's God's. It's God's desire that we love Him alone. And when that doesn't happen, then all hell breaks loose. Let's go to, I think the first time this is talked about in Genesis 6. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth, on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. These were the giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which of old, men of renown. And then this verse 5 is, the spirit lusteth to envy. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And that's what it means when the one we just had saw was he lusteth to envy. The idea is that, And the whole Bible is full of it, and this is just the first time that's recorded, that the apostasy was so great that rather than trying to fix it, he was going to destroy it. And he shortly did here. Destroyed the entire human race except for those that were in the ark. Now that's going to happen again, but it will never happen again with water. It will happen with fire. The imaginations Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now then let's go back to James. Verse verse 5, you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. You see what that means? There can be no more double-mindedness with regard to your relationship with God. And I say it again, I've said it often, from the standpoint of those people who call themselves believers or Christians, there's never been a time when we were in a greater state of apostasy than we are now. We've got people that believe that the evidence of God is that things are going well with them. And so the whole teaching is how much God loves you and wants to give you everything. And so we have cheerleaders like Joel Osteen, and then we have the whole rat pack of the prosperity gospel that makes a mockery of the mystery of God. They've created God in their own image and then lie to the people. And every time when the sick person wasn't healed, or the persons that the people that gave money in order that they might be rich or whatever, whenever they contact the ministries and say, what happened? The ministry always blames them in our experience. The ones that all of the victims that we've talked to. They've said one of three things. You didn't get healed, or you didn't get the money because you have secret sin in your life. Or that you were It just drives me nuts. The secret sin, or else you didn't have enough faith. Or else, what's the other one?
Well, or as if they're asking for money, they say our ministry mandates prohibit us from helping individuals.
And these are the ones that gave them hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars. And then they run out of money and are poor, then they write to the ministry and they say, well, I've got it. All of them have a stock phrase now, which is just ludicrous. Our charter prevents us from giving money to individuals.
Why would they do that? I don't get it. Why would that benefit them to have a sentence like that?
So they wouldn't have to give back the money or meet the need when the people that they were ministering to ran out of money.
It retains the money in the organization so that they...
Or in the... In some of them, it retains the money in the leader's pocket. But that's the kind of apostasy that it's just, it's so obvious, it's just crazy. But the other kind is that you believe God is only there when things are going well with you. And that denies the entire New Testament, the entire Old Testament. But anyway, let's go on. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And so let's go to a couple of scriptures. We're going first to Job 22. This is just one of many, but it really says it with some clarity. The friends of Job, they never gave good advice. They never ever once when they're talking, trying to help Job out. And so he says, verse 28, "Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is a lifting up, and he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent, and is delivered by delivered by the pureness of thine hands." There is a lifting up, and that's what always has to be seen. And the lifting up comes in times when nothing about your situation is something that you think is good. But you continue. You continue in this mystery. And then there's always a lifting up. And and lifting up doesn't mean you're going to get healed or get money or whatever it is. The lifting up is the revelation of Christ. You see more and more of him and less of you. Amen. All right, back to James. Oh. Verse 7. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded." Now remember what double-minded is. Everybody remember? Anybody remember?
I know.
Colin, yeah.
Want your cake and eat it too.
It's giving breath to both worlds.
That's right.
I passed the pop quiz.
A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. May not seem like it at any point in time, but it will be. Okay, go to Ephesians 4. Starting verse 17. Well, no, we have to start earlier. Starting 14. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, then put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him look labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And it goes on, but the place, neither give place to the devil. Now, what does that mean? Anybody?
A position of importance.
Well, you don't know what, you'll never, anybody with any sense would never give, okay, Satan, I'm giving you this and I'm giving you an importance, but rather what they do.
Acknowledgement.
Hmm?
Maybe. Yeah, that's not a good word.
No, what we do is we still are walking as a Gentile.
Acceptance.
Hmm?
Maybe we accept it.
It's kind of related to 26. Not letting the sun go down on your wrath. That means.
That's part of it.
It's not just before you go to bed, make sure you and your wife are okay. But that happens all day long for you.
I'm sure it includes all of our mind talk.
Well, it's Ephesians. Let me go there. Ephesians 5. Let's start in verse 6 of chapter 5. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for we were sometime darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, or children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving or testing what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfaithful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So whatever is of this, let's go back to Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Now, the devil, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Well, you resist him by no more walking after the course of this world. That's the primary way of resistance. And that's why those scriptures are so numerous. But if you love God, the love of the Father is not in you. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. And again, this doesn't happen overnight. It can only happen as you see the vanity of the things that you once gave importance to. And that is the vehicle by which the Holy Spirit is working in us. Not that we become successful, but that we see the emptiness and vanity of whatever the thing is that we're doing in the world. Now that's why the preaching of the cross has to produce repentance. If it doesn't, it isn't the preaching of the cross. But again, it's like these words produce the end result. But the end result doesn't happen until you see emptiness and vanity of whatever it is that has got you hooked. Is that clear? You can't repent of something that you think is good. That's the basic law of the universe. You can think you do, you can say you do, but you don't. So something has to happen by the Holy Spirit to show you that whatever it is wherein you're walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that something has to happen in you to see that which you have been thinking is good is an enemy of God. And it can come from every possible source, every possible bad habits can happen to. But everything, we have a myriad of things that we think are good, and if somebody doesn't meet the standards of those things, then there's something wrong in your mind. Well, that's walking according to the course of this world, because it's walking according to the behavior patterns that you were taught were the way to be. Am I communicating? There's a jillion of them. And when we do that, when we still are walking according to the course of this world in that regard, then the Holy Spirit has to show us the emptiness and fruitlessness of that opinion. And it's long, and it's in my experience, I thought it was slow, but it wasn't really compared to some. But everybody, this is in at least in your mind, in every, no one comes to anything. You don't have the Isaac experience very often. But even if you have the Isaac experience, you're still dragging with you with this rope the things that are still of importance to the world. Remember, well, let's go to Isaiah 5. It's where your sin is, it were with a cart rope. And the cart rope is tied to the value systems that you, or the ideas and things that you think are good, that were part of the world standards. And so you are sinning with a cart rope. But you get to a point where you can't go any further. You're walking through the wilderness, but at some point that cart rope gets, you know, the longer the rope is, the more difficult it is to pull something with you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's pulling, showing us all those value systems and ideas that we had in the world are now slowly but surely being seen as empty and worthless. And that at some point God totally breaks that or cuts that cart rope so you're free again. Now my question is, I can't remember, why can't I find that in Isaiah? So you don't think I made it up? Anybody got an Antichrist machine? And sin, as it were, with a cart rope, or just the cart word cart rope? Well, we'll find that and then quit. It's supposed to be right in that place on that page, and it's not there.
5:18.
Five.
5:18.
I bet that's it, because I knew it was 5, but I was looking at the wrong place.
Yeah.
In verse 18, yeah, chapter 5, I was right, but I was just wrong.
I'm right and I'm wrong.
Right, I was looking in the wrong place. I'm in Isaiah 5.
Right. 5 what?
Verse 18.
5:18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, men of strength to mingle strong drink. Anyway, the one I wanted to study was this cart rope thing. All right. So the whole idea of that terrible scripture that we just read about, if any man love God, if any man love the world, the love of God, the Father isn't in him. Part of that reason is because you're still carrying the stuff of the world with you. So that cart rope has to be cut. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen? What?
Well, I just think of what is the love of the Father other than the Son. So it's like this double-minded man who's caught up in the world and his what he can get out of it and his commitment to it. This, you know, the Spirit of God might be somewhere in you, but you're not feeding that part of it.
Yeah, because there isn't, you haven't seen it. As repentance is necessary.
Yeah, so it went with turning, then the love of the Father is in you, and you see correctly, and you're not so taken with the world. In fact, you see it as the enemy. And so.
Right, and that's what the whole. That's what, to me, that's what's lacking in the majority of churches that I'm aware of in America. Well, it's not lacking where you're getting your head chopped off if you're, then they see. But here we have put the name of God on success, and we think that we're praising God when we're successful. And that's a stench. All right.
I have a question. How do you deal with, let's say, I'm just being theoretical.
Just don't be honest, that's all.
Okay. I have surrendered. I've died to self. I've abandoned. I'm sanctified. I'm no longer alive. If the exchange has happened, I give up the rest of the world. I have no expectations of others in my life, but I'm dealing with a world that has all these expectations of me. So there's two standards.
The evidence?
You coexist in that world and keep your sanity.
Again, remember, that's what the definition of it, of true Israel is their circumcision isn't of the flesh, it's of the heart. And they no longer need the praise of men. So that the only reason you would stay in a position like you're talking about is you still think it's important and you haven't circumcised, the heart hasn't been circumcised. Is that clear? So to no longer need the praise of men, it's huge. All right? Take it, big guy.